Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. In this passage, Jesus has been dealing with a group of Pharisees, no doubt in the presence of his disciples. And he pulls away to deal with his disciples to expand a bit further with them. And Jesus is asked about faith, and that is a lofty topic to be sure. And he addresses faith, but then switches to the more mundane topic of time. He does so because the faith of a growing follower of Christ is reflected by their view of their personal time. We're going to read Luke 17, verse 5 through 10. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Which of you, having a slave plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, 'Come immediately and sit down to eat'? But will he not say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat, and properly clothe yourself and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you may eat and drink?' He does not thank the slave because he did the things which were commanded, does he? So you too, when you do all the things which are commanded, you say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We have done only that which we ought to have done.'" The title of the message is "It Yours?" I ask the question in terms of your time, your personal time, your life. Is it yours? How do you spend your time? Studies have been done of 18 to 64-year-olds. They spend on average their minutes each day this way. Sleeping, 461. That's about right, 8 hours. Working, 211. Must be a lot of young people and a lot of retirees asked, 211 minutes. Watching TV, 121. Doing housework, 101 minutes. Traveling, 78. Eating, 69. Socializing, 48. Recreation, 31. Caring for children, only 28. Dressing, 28. Washing, grooming, 25. Reading, 24. Conversing, 24. Thinking or relaxing, 9. Significantly, perhaps, worship and devotional activities of any kind did not appear on the studies. How do you spend your time? Is it yours? Let me take a brief aside before getting into the meat of the message I want to bring to you. The issue Jesus points out in regards to faith is, it is the quality of your faith, not the quantity of it, that matters. A little bit of true faith, even the smallest amount, a mustard seed, that was like the smallest thing that they could refer to. Even the smallest amount could do amazing things. Do you have any faith at all? Do you have a quality of faith? Or is what you claim to have a guarded faith, a calculated faith? Faith is simply your willingness to respond and live to life as Jesus wants. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Let me say it again. The faith of a growing follower of Christ is reflected by their view of their personal time. Your time is not really yours because you are a bondservant of Jesus Christ. Everyone who has come to Jesus in a saving relationship, be that this prisoner that Marianne referred to earlier, or a child or an adult, every one of us who comes to Jesus in this saving relationship has entered into a relationship with him that might be likened to us being the bondservant and him the master. Paul saw himself as a bondservant. James did. Peter did. Jude did. John did. All these biblical writers saw themselves as slaves, bondservants to Jesus Christ. Do you? Do you see yourself as one who is in a permanent relation of servitude to another, whose will is totally consumed in the will of the other? Jesus talks about five marks of a bondservant. The first mark is that a bondservant, a slave, must be willing to have one thing on top of another put upon him without any consideration given to him. The slave had been out working, and he comes in and he has to tend to his master before tending to himself. Calvin Miller had been a pastor for many years before he went to Southwestern and then I think on to Samford University to teach and to write. He tells of coming back from Ridgecrest. He had been there as a speaker. There had been over 2,000 youth involved in that week. And this is how the week ended up for him. He said, finally I got on the airplane headed for home. He was still living in Omaha, Nebraska at the time. And he remembers thinking, oh Lord, thank you that I'm moving away from this place. And he said, because the Bible is the last desperate defense, he got out his Bible and he kind of leaned back in his chair and he had the Bible on his chest because he knew that people would typically see the Bible and then not approach the person. But he became aware of a young man crying in the seat next to him. He looked like a student, 19, 20 years old. And he said, Lord, he's not one of mine. My sinners are still on the ground in Omaha. And the young man kept crying. And finally, Calvin put the Bible down and said, son, I don't know what the matter is. But if there's anything I can help you with, I'd like to. The young man had a tragic story. He said his mother and father and his little sister had all three been killed in a car accident the day before while on vacation. Calvin said, my heart grew very still and silent. He said, then I felt the pain, or tried to. I turned to him and said, I don't know what you must be feeling. I can't imagine this, but I know someone who understands it perfectly. I took that Bible, which he had been hiding behind, and Dr. Miller shared with him about Jesus Christ and was able to lead him to Christ there on the airplane in the air. But he said, that's not my last act. He said, when I got off the plane, I called someone I knew and asked him to meet the young man at the airport where he was going to be landing because the young man needed help that day. If you're going to love others as yourself, showing them compassion, showing them love, time becomes a factor. Give your time away. Give your time away. A follower of Christ does not keep track of time given because it's all Christ's anyway. I'm a bondservant. You're a bondservant. Is it yours? Is your life, your time, yours? The second mark of a bondservant is the slave must be willing to not be thanked for what he does. How often do you give your time away serving someone only to break into self-pity when the other person doesn't thank you profusely enough? The master did not thank the slave. He probably didn't even say, "Woo, that was good food." He just said, "That's what you're supposed to do." And neither should followers, hearers of Jesus, expect him to do so. Ruth Calkins wrote, "I wonder." She said, "You know, Lord, how I serve you with great emotional fervor in the limelight. You know how eagerly I speak for you at the women's club. You know how I effervesce when I promote a fellowship group. You know my genuine enthusiasm at a Bible study. But how would I react, I wonder, if you pointed to a basin of water and asked me to wash the callous feet of a bent and wrinkled old woman day after day, month after month, in a room where nobody saw and nobody knew?" If you're going to love others as yourself, now let me back up and say it this way. If you're going to love others as Jesus loves us, showing them compassion, time becomes a factor. Are you willing to give your time away? Or do you look at it more as an investment with hopes of a return? Are you willing to give without any thanks? Are you willing to do something anonymously for someone else? Is your life, your time, yours? The third mark of a bondservant is the slave does not consider the one being served as selfish. The master was inconsiderate and selfish. He wanted the slave to take care of him. But the servant did not seem to think so. He just did what was before him to do. He knew he existed to serve the interest of the master. Gene Fleming wrote an article, "How Busy is Too Busy." We need to scrutinize the rush of our activities because even venerable exertions may be keeping us from becoming and doing what God wants. A packed schedule may be detrimental not only to ourselves, but to those we seek to help. A few years ago, she wrote, "Our neighbors were drawn to us, but when we talked to them about the Lord, their response was, 'We couldn't be Christians, we couldn't live at your pace.'" They had been attracted to Christ, but the busyness of our lives had scared them from a commitment. If you're going to love others as yourself, if you're going to show them compassion, time becomes a factor. Have you ever heard anyone say, "I'm so busy now, I don't know how I had time to work"? I'm not going to ask you if you have said that. But are you really showing other people that you love them? Are you giving your time away? Sometimes we have to say no to things. No to this fun thing to do, or no to that fun thing to do. Sometimes even to worthy things that God has not called you to do. Are you willing to say no to that? Are you willing then to give your time away? Is your life, your time, yours? The fourth mark of a bondservant is the slave has no ground for pride or self-congratulation. Jesus instead pointed out the necessity of seeing oneself as an unworthy servant, devoid of pride. In my desk, I have kept for the last 20 years ago this little piece of a blue washcloth. Back in the day, I was helping put together a youth conference, and I don't know, we had a couple hundred youth at the youth conference. And whatever we were doing that week and whatever we were doing that evening, we decided instead of getting out a basin and towel and trying to get that spread around to everybody, we gave everybody a little piece of a washcloth. And we said, "Now go to somebody that you would wash their hands and feet." We didn't use the water. I remember going to a son. And I'm not sure how the Lord used that. I look back on his life and know some things happening, some things going on. But I realized this morning that this may have been the start of healing in his life about some things and some change. Did I really do anything important? But what you do in somebody else's life, when you show that you're willing to give them your time and take care of them, shows them compassion, shows them love. Because time is a factor. Whose feet, whose hands are you willing to wash? Are you willing to give your time away? Is your life, your time, yours? The fifth mark of a bondservant is this. The doing and being of a bondservant is not one bit more than his duty to do. Man was created to tend to God's things, to be his bondservant. Your willful sin is simply your unwillingness to be God's bondservant. It has been said God chose the poor and the few to do his work because the rich and the many, being preoccupied, refused him. If you're going to love others as yourself, showing them compassion, time becomes a factor. Life, even your life, your time is not about you. Parents of small kids, can I get an amen out of that one, that your time and your life is not really about you? Yeah. Laugh. That's as good as... Too many of us have adopted a middle-class following of Jesus. Middle-class, comfortable. Is your life, your time, yours? In their book, Side by Side, Steve and Lois Raby speak to this issue of time and servanthood. Our servanthood to the Lord Jesus is to express itself in our servanthood to our fellows. The low position we take toward the Lord Jesus is judged by him by the low position we take in our relationship with our fellows. An unwillingness to serve others is costly. It's humbling. But he takes those to be what is necessary. Is your life, your time, yours? 168 hours, 60 minutes in each. How will you use them? Will you serve others?